Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
We need to get perspective on this, which means we must go to Douglas Cass of Seabreeze Partners, and we welcome him now. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Bloomberg.
That was remarkable research by David Wilson. You have been cautious on the market. Have you switched here after the election?
Yeah, I have consistently expressed concern on surveillance and elsewhere that the fiscal, economic, geopolitical, and earnings cliff would all be in attendance over the balance of the year and into next year, and that would weigh down the market. I still remain deeply concerned about the earnings cliff, but I would say that recent signals suggest a somewhat more reduced concern about the other cliffs, and also with regard to the risks associated with an expected rise in the tax on dividends and capital gains. I think these signposts, when you combine with the central bank easing around the world and the decline, the magnitude of the stock market decline, suggests to me that the market fears are overblown and that the rationale behind the meaningful market downside has basically been removed. And a lot of the tail risks of recession have been removed. And the market's risk reward is much improved.
How do you know, then, when to go long? If you're in and you're out and you're in, we've had a 6% move, not a correction. How do you know when to step in and be more optimistic, more aggressive?
Well, you reassess your scenarios and the probabilities and outcomes of those scenarios. So you develop some sense of fair market value. You look at sentiment. I sent you a chart that Helene Meisler, who writes a great technical analysis blog on thestreet.com, where I also blog, wrote, and she combined Investors Intelligence Report this morning, in which she combines bears and corrections, and we're at a level that's usually associated with a sentiment extreme and an improvement in the market. And we all know from Warren Buffett that fear is the friend of the rational buyer. So you use a lot of common sense and analysis.
Doug, where's
and
the fun?
And also what you do is, Joe, you put at inflection points. For example, when I thought the market was a couple months ago made a year high, and I still think the high was in place at that time, you basically put the mute button on consensus.
Where's the fundamental impetus for this rally coming from? Because it's certainly not the real economy. Is it leakage from Fed mortgage-backed security purchases?
Well, I will disagree with you.
Okay, so in the fundamental
on,
side,
you know,
what's driving
on the fundamentals?
What's
I think recent indications are that risks of a global economic cliff have receded. Over the last 4 weeks, the rate of growth in global economic activity is slightly accelerating. And the recent data is mostly exceeding consensus expectations. As evidence of that, the Citigroup Economic Surprise Index that Tobias Lefkowitz, our mutual friend, produces, points to stabilization and improvement in the three major regions of the globe. The U.S. City Surprise Index is at its highest reading in 9 months. The Asian City Surprise Index is at its best reading since February 2011. And even the EU City Surprise Index, though still weak, has risen from minus 100 in June and early summer to only minus 25 now.
We've got a pretty good economic surprise index here, too, at Bloomberg.
Right.
We're seeing these same readings, but it's consistent with the head fake we've seen in the fourth quarter every year for the past 3 years. So why is this time different?
Well, all the evidence, you know, there are some rather broad trends in place. Jobless claims are declining. Jobs growth is accelerating, and that's seasonally adjusted. We saw a better-than-expected improvement in the October payrolls and November claims data. The manufacturing and service PMIs have all risen to above 50. I was on surveillance a year ago, and I had a variant view on housing. I said that I started as a housing analyst at Kidder Peabody when I graduated business school, and I always thought that housing is sort of the epicenter, Joe, of the domestic economy. And I said a year ago that housing had made an important bottom, and that a durable multi-year, possibly continuing throughout the balance of the decade, recovery in home prices and activity had started. I think in large measure, the improvement in housing is going to serve as a counter to the likely fiscal drag of 1 to 2% in 2013.
Interesting. Doug, with a little more optimism on the markets than we've heard in a while, and then, Doug, I look at the Keefe Bruyette Bank Index. Mm-hmm. And essentially looking at a moving average study, the bank index has gone nowhere in 1, 2, 3 years. When do the banks move, and do I want to wait around for the move?
I have no exposure at all in the banks. The principal reason is I think that their business model has changed materially, whereas the good banks and brokerage firms, which in the salad days earned 25% return on equity, and at the bottom 2 years ago earned 8%, are probably languishing between 8 and 12%.
Yeah.
Ad infinitum. So I see no reason to be exposed to that. Rather, I'm in specialty financial companies. I own all the life insurance companies, Lincoln National, Metropolitan Life. I started to buy Prudential after a weak quarter. I own AIG in the insurance area and Chubb.
Why is this? What's the why there? What's the why there versus the banks?
Trading at similarly large discounts to book values, but their book values are real, not deferred tax assets, and much more rapid and consistent core earnings growth, and more valuable franchises. In a world in which people are going to be seeking annuities and other financial products in a low interest rate environment.
Okay, we'll take the barking as approval.
That's the bastard, the dog.
5 years from now, what's...
Do you know the name of his dog is Vix?
No.
Yes.
You named your Vix?
Ritholtz.
Ritholtz.
Ritholtz, come here.
Down Ritholtz. I know Barry's listening.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be getting email from Barry shortly. 5 years from now, what retail stocks are we going to wish we had bought?
Oh, what a great question. I know today we wish we owned Abercrombie & Fitch. I'm not really... I don't have much exposure in retail. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. I prefer to say I don't know rather than give you a soundbite.
Within the equity markets, what's the number one mistake people are making right now? You know, everybody's in bonds. The money, we can cite
sure.
the statistics.
I think the number one mistake that is being made, you know the old proverb, once bitten, twice shy? Mm-hmm. I think that people are overstating and overblowing the fears of fiscal cliff. I think the message of the 2012 election was moderation, and from my perch, moderation equals compromise. I think market participants today are incorrectly playing the last war, which took place during the budget deliberations in August of last year. Those fears are misplaced. We won't go over the fiscal cliff in a major way. We are at the point of necessity, and I think that both parties get this. Those that are obstructionists to the fiscal cliff will be outed by businessmen, the media, and most importantly, voters in the next 2 years. I think the politicians, despite the general pessimism, are going to roll up their sleeves in the next month, just as Senators Graham and Schumer are now working towards a broad agreement on immigration. And I think we're going to get a pro-economy, pro-fiscal growth business compromise forthcoming, with multiple concessions by both parties. I think ultimately the fiscal drag in 2013 at most will be 1.5%. As I said, we have a better-than-expected recovery in housing. We have a continued rebound in consumer confidence and spending. And we could have a return of some business confidence, which will be manifested in larger hirings and capital spending if this compromise is made. And it will offset most of the lost growth.
Do you have a Dow target a year from now here at 12,800?
Well, I prefer to look at the S&P because it's a better definition of the market and reflection of the market. And I think we're going to make a move in the next, between now and year end, towards the 1450 area. And if I'm right in my basic expectations, and I'll give you a real variant view, if there is the type of fiscal cliff compromise that I expect in the next month to month and a half, I believe that we're going to have an economic growth scare by the second quarter of next year. Now, I know, Joe, this is antithetical to what you asked me, but that's a real variant view. And the place you want to be is short the heck out of the U.S. bond market. I think the S&P can... has a potential for approaching 1,600 sometime next year.
Now, Doug Kass, we're going to leave it right there. We're going to frame that quote. We'll see if Mr. Kass is right. One of our most popular guests. Terrific mail with Doug Kass from Seabreeze Partners.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.